Remain standing with your Bible and let's open Luke chapter 12. One verse there, then we sit down. Verse 31. Say, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. We're in our period, our annual Holy Ghost baptism period. And listen, church, I have said it several times that the most important sermon from this Bible is the sermon of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you ever catch the revelation of salvation, then you will understand the importance of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Number one, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the meaning of grace. You have not yet been partaker of the covenant of grace known as the New Testament, New Covenant, until you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The old covenant that God had with Abraham, the covenant between them was sealed, evidence of a covenant with God. When I see that, I will remember my covenant with you. It was sealed with circumcision. As far as God was concerned in his relationship with his children of Israel, the children of Israel, is circumcision. The sign is that every male child is circumcised. That is the evidence you are a Jew. And if you want to worship the God of the Israelites, because you are now a slave by an Israelite in an Israeli home, or you just want to identify with Israel for any reason, the first condition they will give you is circumcision. It means so much until David could stand on it before a giant Goliath. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Circumcision was a reference point. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? That covenant was done away with for a new covenant so that the Gentiles can also come in. It is a covenant of grace. What is grace? Grace is God himself. Hey. Himself. God by himself. Knowing that a man cannot live a life pleasing before him. We are too carnal to write any law and say, follow it. Read it every time. Some put it in the pocket. There were so many. And anyone you break, now die. You break this one, die. You break this one, die. The people were dying every time. Also, so that they will not die, you have to make a way for the atonement with the blood of an animal. Just to atone. To tell you that God knew they will not be able to keep the law. No human being can live a life pleasing before God on your own. And so he looks at it. You say, to please God is to be good. How will you be good? With your effort? I don't steal. I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't fornicate. I don't do this. He said, he looks at it. If it is going to come from your effort, because there are so many other things you will be doing that you may not know, that is not pleasing before God. He called that filthy rag. That righteousness is filthy rag. It's as filthy rag in the sight of God. The only righteousness that is acceptable by God is the righteousness that flowed through the cross of Calvary. It flows through the blood of Jesus Christ. God himself comes and indwells a man, a woman, a human being. By his spirit, he comes and lives inside of you and causes you by the working of the power of the spirit that is in you to live a life that is pleasing before him. That is the mystery of redemption. He came to his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to do what? To become the sons of God. He gave them power. It's not power of attorney. It's not something that you just claim by faith. I am a son of God by confession. I am now a son of God. I give my life to Christ. I give my life to Christ. From now on, I will not worship Ogu again. I will not go to shrine again. I will not prostitute again. I will not go to Biapalo again. I will not join that cult again. I will not smoke again. I'll be going to church. I give my life to Christ. If you have given your life to Christ, wonderful. You have just answered the call. Come to me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, have you come? That is what you are doing. I will not do this again. I will not do this again. You have come. But when you come, he will do something. That is the aspect that people misplace, misrepresent, teach wrongly. And that is the aspect that people assume. It is not by assumption. And please, there is no English, no technicality, no rhetorics, no way to explain it. Salvation is not explained in any way. How to be saved. This is how to be saved. You see, just open your heart. Just, you know. Nothing like that. Come. Your own is to come. And please, it is not with leg. It is from your heart. Give your heart to him. When you do that, as many as receive him, to them gave he what? Power. Come to me and I will do what? Give you rest. That is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God himself by his spirit coming to dwell inside a man. See, if you are still struggling with sin and you are going to church, it is clearly evident you have not yet received grace. Grace is you have failed. Now it is God now dwelling in you. Paul said, the life that I live is no longer I that liveth, but who? Christ that liveth in me. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's the one that worketh it out. Praise the Lord. If a man be in Christ, a new creature. Hallelujah. All things are passed away. You don't struggle anymore to live a life pleasing before God. You don't struggle. The whole power to live a life of righteousness is in you. If you are ready for him to walk through you, that is grace. You don't need to write a book about grace. You don't write book about grace. Hallelujah. Your testimony is a grace. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your testimony is grace. Which book will I write? Which book did I read before my life changed? All I needed to do was receive Christ. A minute. I saw my hopeless condition. I saw myself. The life I'm living, I will end up in hell. I saw from the scripture that I am condemned. I am fit for hell. In fact, I saw myself not qualified to go to heaven. By my own judgment, I knew if I die in a hell by the life that I live, I have no place for God in my life. And that is what brought conviction. It is that conviction you receive that makes you seek help. And then you see help in Christ. Praise the Lord. You see help in Him. And if you come to Him in that estate of your heart, hallelujah, He now knows, now you want to serve me, but you don't have the power to serve me. That is the meaning of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He gives you the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. I don't need to write a book on that. There's no book that should be written on grace. Because you can't even explain it. What will you explain? All they are busy trying to tell you is, you should not condemn yourself. You should not condemn yourself. You should not condemn yourself. The life that I live is already condemning my past. The fruit that I bear shows whether still I have the Holy Ghost or it's still my own nature. No matter what else you achieve in the realm of the anointing of prosperity, whatever it is, without the Holy Ghost, you have achieved nothing. It is only those who have the Holy Ghost that are the children of God. You are your father's child because his blood is in you. And you are a son of God because his spirit is in you. For he said, if you have not the spirit of God, you are none of his. You know what I'm saying is, I want somebody to see the importance of the Holy Ghost. The denominations have downplayed the importance of the Holy Ghost. Using the pale horse rider in this age, Satan, with the spirit of deception, has come down and make the people believe they have something that they need that is all important as far as salvation is concerned. Meanwhile, they don't have it. He deceives them to think they are saved when they are not saved. He deceives them to think they are children of God when God does not know them. He deceives them to think that they are in grace. Meanwhile, they know nothing about grace. So that you can understand the importance of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can never live a life that is pleasing before Him. Because what will cause you to obey, you don't have it. You see, how important it is. And you will remain carnal unless you have the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, there will be nothing in you to respond when God is convicting you when you do something wrong. By the Spirit of God in you, He lets you know when you are doing something wrong. He will make you feel guilty. By the Spirit of God. Because the process of the baptism of the Holy Ghost involves taking the heart of stony, the stony heart away, and giving you a heart of flesh. Ezekiel 36 says so. And then taking away your spirit, putting a new spirit in you. You see, there is a work of conversion He does that affects your heart and your spirit. Your heart and your spirit. Once He's able, first, He can't even come to you until He starts that process. He starts first by washing you with clean water of the Word of God, which convicts you. Then using that water of the Word, it breaks you down so that your heart that was stony, nothing makes you feel guilty when you're doing anything bad. He breaks it down and gives you a heart of flesh. Then He puts a new spirit in you because His spirit needs to work with a changed spirit. Then He will come and put His spirit now in you. So, your heart is affected, your spirit man is affected, and now the Holy Ghost comes in there. When your heart wants to do something that is wrong, your spirit will condemn you. The Spirit of God will convict you. You will know you are doing something wrong. You can never know it except by the Spirit that dwells in you. And that is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And that is the criteria for homegoing. That is your qualification for the rapture. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, when he comes, you will answer. You will hear him. The Holy Ghost enables you to hear him when he will call, Lazarus, come forth. You will hear. Because everybody will hear your name. But the only thing that will make you to hear your name when they call you is the Spirit of God that dwells inside of you. When a deep call it, there's a deep to respond. Praise the Lord. Somebody here, you are still carnal because you have not received the Holy Ghost. And I told you that the lie of Satan is that it deceives us that to make you believe that because you have a gift and that gift is operating, that means you are right with God. You always, from the time that you were not seeing vision before, then one day you went for one Holy Ghost program, then you fall down, and then when you woke up, when you stood up, you started seeing vision. And then you say, hey, now I'm born again. Then you discover one mystery. But you are seeing vision, but the old lifestyle has not died in you. You still discover a mystery that you just stand up from your boyfriend's house and immediately you started in Jesus' name. Message started coming. In fact, the vision became even clearer than before you went to sleep with your boyfriend. Now, when you are in that estate and you listen to messages like that people like Joseph Prince preaches, grace, you will continue in your sin because he's telling you that God doesn't look at that sin anymore. It is under the blood. It's not you doing it. It's your old nature that is doing it. And so there's no more condemnation for you. So you will continue with it. When you come here, try to listen to me. Because I didn't come from the moon. And they don't bomb me for church. Amen. I don't even come from a Christian home. But I'm a product of the working of God. That God can go among sinners. Pull somebody out. Rearrange his life. Pour his spirit in him. And release him to go and tell him that there is a land flowing with milk and honey. Do everything to be there. No matter how bad you are, he can change you. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hey, brother, you are still a womanizer. You know womanize, reach me one cup. You get money. Not be all these pure water girls you chase up and down. You chase the real girls. Not be all these hawkers for Ladipo you chase. Where if you give one 10 naira, he go thank you. So you all know reach me. Don't say you're a womanizer. When you talk, so because the commonest sin among Christendom today is fornication. Especially those who be prophets. Their own words pass. And yet, come and see anointing. Church, that is why I have been emphasizing so that you will take heed to this, that there is the anointing of the Holy Ghost and there is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There are two different things. Of course, when you are baptized with the Holy Ghost, it goes with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. But you can be anointed with the Holy Ghost and not be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Make your calling and election sure. So we give it so much seriousness when God in this age has opened our eyes to understand the salvation process. And more importantly, how short the time is now to round up this process of salvation. The time is shorter than short. Closer than we know. Our Redeemer is nearer than those who spoke about the nearness in the Bible. We are the fulfillment, the product of the end time. We are the ones that we see the unfolding of end time events that will round up and culminate into homegoing. I believe we are the generation that will be changed in the twinkle of an eye. And when we go up to meet with our Lord, I believe this is the generation. Praise the Lord. And whether you like it or not, it's not whether you believe it or not, it will not affect God's program. Whether you believe this is the time or not, or whether I believe this is the time, whether I say na-na-na-na-na or no, whether fire or backfire, God has the agenda in his hand. Praise the Lord. And then we can see evidence that is the end and things happening all around us. Uncertainty, perilous time, dangerous time, serious phenomena everywhere that is making man now to be so much afraid, fear, all over. It is making a group of people to see we are the only ones that have hope to escape from what is coming to this world. And our escape is through the blood of Jesus Christ. By the seal, he is sealing some people on earth here. And that sealing is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And for this year, we are starting on the 9th of June. But to precede that, we decided to go on a 21-day fast. Why 21? The number is not the emphasis. It is the need for it that is the emphasis. It's our own way of making the people see the seriousness of what the Holy Ghost is. Praise the Lord. Many of us here, the effort we make to acquire physical things, financial blessings, prosperity, the effort we make for our businesses. People leave their homes in Lagos, to Lagos Island, to Aspanda, to your business places, from far distances, to get to the shop, to be the first to open, to receive early customers. But the effort they make in chasing worldly things, we don't see them make the same effort in chasing heavenly things. How many of you came here before 9 a.m.? A service that is supposed to start 9 a.m. Many of us here came late. But be sincere with yourself. Will you go late to open your shop? Will you go late to your office where you work? You see? Luke chapter 12, verse 16. Verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, Luke chapter 12, verse 16. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. Be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Take note of that verse. The emphasis there is not that he had so much wealth, but he was so rich here, but he was not rich towards God. It must be balanced. That is what the problem is. The same effort you take to acquire earthly things, put on the same effort for spiritual things. That's all That parable is supposed to teach us. Don't let anybody tell you that Christ is against your wealth. Christ is not against your wealth. His problem is verse 20. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. What have you done for God in all your wealth, in all your riches? Out of the billions that you have, out of the millions that you have, at the end of the year, when you'll be looking at your fat account and see how much you have made, you must also have another account of how much you have spent for the advancement of the kingdom. Also, you must also be able to state your spiritual growth. What is my level now spiritually? What have I acquired for my spiritual health? My spiritual man. Which level am I now? Last year I used to pray for only 1 hour before I can stand up. Now, am I able to pray for 3 hours? That is the wealth you are acquiring now. Before, I could not fast in a whole week. I cannot fast for 1 day. Now, this year, now, after you have finished the account for your business, you'll be so satisfied. My, oh my. My effort have not been in vain. Okay? Thank you, Lord, for all the success, for all the customers. Last year, now only one container they import. In the previous year. Now, this last year, now, see me, I'm importing 10 containers. Oh, praise God. This year alone, I have laid 3 foundations for building. Praise God. I bought like, praise God. Now, I have 2 new cars. Praise God. Okay? Clap for yourself. You clap. Now, the other one, spiritually, kingdom of God. How have you invested there? Score yourself there. Then move to your own spiritual life now. Spiritual upliftment, spiritual growth. Which level am I now? That is what Christ is using that to teach us. So is he that laid up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Verse 21. And he said unto his disciples, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. And this is a popular scripture. We all know it. And they say, well, when you read it and it's not properly understood, lazy person can hang on it. No, you will walk. That's not what it means. But you don't walk and chase money to the detriment of your soul. To the detriment of your soul. You don't do that. Praise the Lord. And maybe you want to know, what am I talking about? We are looking at the consecration fast. The consecration fast. That's what we want to look. Amen. The consecration fast. What is consecration? It simply means to be set apart for God's use. Or to be dedicated to God's service. That is the meaning of consecration. Before the priests are released to go into service, there is a consecration process that the Lord himself gave Moses in Leviticus chapter 8 and verse 1 to verse 13. To dedicate the priests, Aaron and his sons. Remember, even the firstborn were to be consecrated, set aside for God's use in Exodus 13. Praise the Lord. And we as Christians too, we are supposed to live a life of consecration. And so we see 2 Corinthians chapter 6. If you are writing down the scriptures from verse 14 to verse 18, it tells us to be separate. Separate yourself from these unbelievers. And don't be partaker of the unclean thing. Come out of her, my people. Come out so that we can be consecrated unto God. Consecration now It's not a process. Like we see some of these denominations, they go and pour water on you, pour oil, and say they are consecrating you unto the service of the Lord. No, that's a denominational consecration. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 12. That's the way the Apostle Paul put it in Romans chapter 12. Say, I beseech you, brethren, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Praise the Lord. Now, there is something here I want to make, I want you to take note of. I am not preaching for God so loved the world. I am not preaching to people in the beer parlor, in the motor garage, Agberos. I am preaching this program for this year. The program for this year, the Lord told us it is for the manifestation of the Spirit. Now, when we talk about the manifestation of the Spirit, it means the Spirit is already in you, and now He wants to manifest His presence in you. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And I'm also preaching to somebody who has been coming to church, who thinks he's a Christian, but by measuring by the standard of the Bible, you know you are not a Christian. You have heard all the gospel, but you don't seem to know why you cannot live a life pleasing before God. Why the Bible says we are supposed to be the salt of the earth. Why is everybody running away from you? Why is your character not attracting people to you, but driving people away from you? How have you become salty? Something is missing. We are preparing ourselves, these two groups of people. That's why he said, make your calling and election sure. And the other group that is manifesting the gift of God, you are so anointed. God has used you so much, but you know between you and yourself, you know the life you live is not the life of a Christian. You know the things you do in secret. You know the testimonies you leave behind when people come around you. The only genuine thing they see around you is the gift. But any other thing beyond that gift, they cannot see any fruit that shows you are of Christ. I'm talking to those. If there will be anyone among us, they will be sincere. I'm talking to people who are struggling to do spiritual things. You are struggling for your spiritual life. You are struggling. When you try, you will fall down yakata. You try, you fall down yakata. It simply means you are serving God by your effort. You will fall. I want somebody here to see this as opportunity for God to do a work of conversion, or a work of restoration, or a work of revival in you within this period. It's a great opportunity, and it's a period I look forward to. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, I have seen approach. My wife and our visitors, I think last night, we were just talking about certain approach, about Christian approach. My wife, because of her experience, when we were looking for the fruit of the womb, she uses it to counsel people who come before God. When we are approaching God as a right. Ah, Father, look at me. I serve you every day at the church. See how many people have received. What did I do? Father, you are counting counting and counting your righteousness. And as long as you approach God like that, you will not receive anything from him. Until it occurred to her. After 20 years of looking for fruit of the womb, 19 years of looking for fruit of the womb, she said, okay, Lord, I don't deserve it. I have been too full of myself. It's just your mercy now I need. Not because I deserve it. Then she started concentrating on her weaknesses to tell the Lord, I know because of this, I cannot receive from you. But just have mercy on me. As soon as she changed her line of approach, the door of blessing opened. Praise the Lord. Now, that is the same approach. You don't come to God to receive anything from him as if it is a right. It's by his mercy. There are some things that we see we cannot talk because we may be misunderstood. I'm telling you, I have since known, God himself taught me that. It is not going to the mountain. It is not going to the mountain that gives you the power to cast out devil. You know something? Listen. If you are going to receive any grace to do anything from God, that grace will come in a way that when you begin to experience that grace, you will know that it is not your effort. That knowledge keeps you humble as you operate that grace. If it is because you have the ability to cast out spirit because you fast, dry fasting, 4-5 days in a week, every mountain knows you. When you come down from the mountain and you handle microphone, where will your mind be? Your mind will be in the effort you spent in the mountain. And God cannot share his glory with anyone. Can I tell you people something? Who was here last Friday? Did you see the grace that was around me? If you notice, and when I left the altar, these ministers were coming to me. And they would say, you have gone to another level. And they would say, you have gone to another level. And inside of me, I would say, praise God. Myself, I see the surprising. I say, they surprise me. I don't know what happened. Do you know why? Somehow in the spirit, I don't know what came over me, cursed. 2 days before Friday night, even the whole of Friday, I was battling. I want to pray. I cannot pray. I could not pray for 1 hour in 3 days. I did not stay like this to pray for 1 hour in 3 days. So all I was doing is, since I cannot pray, I don't carry my books. I was just reading and studying and reading and studying. I was feeling guilty. Friday they come, you go altar. Friday they come, as Friday was coming in the afternoon, around 4 o'clock, I was still feeling low. Now I call Pastor Thomas. Pastor Thomas, say, you know you have not been preaching for some time. You know you have to go and say something. I was touching the altar. I was touching the altar because I felt, how can you come in this estate and lead people? I didn't know God was the one trying to show me grace. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And when I came in, I said, Lord, that mercy, why they tell you to pray for mercy? I pray and pass now. We pray for mercy on Friday night. I pray that mercy pass now. He has come to show us. Now, am I stopping you from fasting? No. am I stopping you from prayer? No. You see, I'm not justifying it. But I'm only trying to tell you that it is not God supporting my inability to pray. It is because I realize my estate. And that is the time that God will say, okay, I know why you are struggling. Even you cannot stop my work. Then he comes down. Because if I had come and say, I am the pastor, like Samson, shake my head as I used to do before, it will fail. Now, this is a time for humility. God works in humility. Apostle Paul prayed 3 times. When he said he prayed 3 times, church, Apostle Paul is not saying he knelt down saying in Jesus' name for 2 minutes. And then he went again, in Jesus' name, Father, take away this problem. This pain is too much. If he said he prayed, he besought the Lord 3 times, it means he must have undergone some special spiritual exercise, battle prayer, some dry fasting, because you heard his testimony say in fasting, he was fasting awful. And in such 3 occasions, the Lord told him that he will not take that thing away. Stop telling me to take that thing away from you. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. He said, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect. We are in weakness. So that all glory will go to him. All glory will go to him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is a time to break us down. This is a time to break yourself down. Look at why my spiritual life is the way I am. Church. When you have to be in a spiritual estate, you say you're a Christian and witches are playing football with you. When this one finishes with you, it passes you over to another person. This one finishes, it throws away you to another one. And they are laughing at you. Sometimes they come physically to you. Church, something is wrong with your connection to God. God does not stay and allow his people to be messed up. And let me tell you, if God allows the devil to do it, he will give you the grace. You will not be complaining. You will not be complaining. When I visited that young girl, sister, that the husband took away, my wife first went to see her. And she came back to tell me, said, the sister now they encourage him. A sister was encouraging people coming to commiserate with her. Coming to condole her. Young girl, married, and her husband is dead. Not that he will have any protracted sickness. Sick today, tomorrow, die. Why you expect that she will fall down and go? And these are Christians. They are Christians. Now, because God allowed it, he gives the woman grace to go through that trial. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. The Bible says so. But God is faithful. He says so. Who will not allow you to go through what you are not able to say, but with that temptation, he will make a way of escape. One of the ways of escape, he gives you grace. When they expect you to collapse, you are laughing. It's grace. But that grace will come when you are in a relationship with him. If there is no relationship with him, if that woman consider her husband as her Alpha and Omega, then her God is dead. But because she made the Father of creation her Alpha and Omega, the taking away of the man does not affect her relationship with God. Now, God wants to bring us to an estate where we will break down. The consecration period, therefore, is a period for inward look. Look inward and begin to be sincere with yourself between you and God. You are not going to hit your chest. See, 21 days. I'm going to fast. 21 days. It's not how many days you fasted, but what you achieved after the fasting. What you achieved after the fasting. See? Throughout this period, therefore, we expect you to abstain from certain things. Abstain from anything that takes your time from your spiritual life. In fact, it's a moment of sacrificing the things that satisfy the flesh. Anything you know you indulge in. All those nonsense chats you chat on Facebook, WhatsApp, and things that are not spiritual. All these television programs you watch. All those funny books you read. Certain places you go. Certain people you associate with during your leisure time. If I will associate with you, it must be for the purpose of business. And not to sit down, we are talking APC and PDP. Put all that aside. Give more time now to the reading of the word. Give more time now between you and God. Create time. And everybody has that time. This is not the time you disturb your compound with your prayer. Because it is time now to discuss you and God. Evaluate yourself spiritually. What level am I now? Can I be better? And you have to be sincere with yourself. It is rearranging ourselves, ready for something. And let me tell you, that thing can begin even from today. God can visit somebody. Every day of these 21 days, you will be having encounters with Him. That is the motive. That is the purpose. Imagine every one of us entering here, we are carrying a fire. And then we sit down here. Anybody that is sick, that enter the atmosphere, the sickness will disappear. Oh, that is the truth. Watch your temperament this period. Watch the words that come out of your mouth. Don't curse. Don't do anything that will make somebody cry. Don't insult anybody. Don't set trap for anybody. Unnecessary jesting, stop it. This 21-day period, let everybody see you as a serious person. Praise the Lord. You know why it's heavy for you to go to church? If it is to go to one party, especially women, 3 days to the party, the dress is ready. The shoe to match. If you don't match, they're going to the market to set it up. Get ready, the special perfume, they will, everything gets ready. They will remind the husband. Time don't they do? They say the party, they start 4. We are still here on at 2 o'clock now. It's just 2 now. I say, you know, there can be hold up. So let's live in time. They can remind you. But when it is time to go to church, that is when they will remind you. You know, say, I have 4 children to bath. You don't get ready. You know, they say, I will take care of them. I will feed them. I will do everything. Then you don't know what I'm going through as a mother. Because na church. If you have such a wife, please include her in your prayer point this consecration period. And some women are the husband. He wakes up late. Then when you know some husbands, in their dressing mirror for their bedroom, the creams where they are pass their wife home. When you see a man, we get powder, he get pancake, he get nail file, he get, what's it again? He gets soap for head, soap for face. He gets foot scraper. Then he carries it in a bag. Where are you going? He's going to the bathroom. There are some men that are like that. Ask your brother, now you. Now, a man can take time and, I mean, a woman can, you know now, because they have so many hormones that are excreted out of their body. Your own. Now, only one hormone you get, testosterone. Eh? So, to clean that one, that for MPD, they come out. So, you don't need too much of a sponge yourself. Sharafara. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. And you come out. But not a woman. Praise the Lord. This time around, put your husband in the prayer list. There are some men that disturb the spirituality of their wives. They feel guilty if the woman is too spiritual. Then they do everything to bring the woman to their level. Well, this is your prayer. They're hungry. Hey, go find food to chop. Now lie. But food today now. Now lie. Is you are getting too spiritual for him. Put him in your prayer list, because those are some of the Philistines that God will take care of this 21 days journey. Praise the Lord. And you will see the evidence. And you too, you have a problem of being too spiritual. Every time you let everybody know, say, now you be angel, him, now devil. Everybody around you, now devil. You know, you cannot bear with one another. It's also a sign that you are not spiritual. So you will pray that God will make you spiritual. Praise the Lord. I want to hang this. I will tell you about fasting and how we are supposed to fast next Sunday. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Because we are just starting. Is there anybody that has a question concerning the upcoming program? Those of you online, outside Lagos, joining us online, you and your family, come together and pray from 5 o'clock before you break your fast. Any question? Yes.
Please, the question that I want to ask, during this period of consecration, how will somebody go away with negative thought?
By prayer. Lord, take away negative thoughts. It's a prayer program. It's to remove all negativity, including negative thoughts. It's a distraction. Rebuke it and face what you are supposed to face. Now, I know some people call. A woman called me to ask yesterday or so that if she's preparing food and she wants to test, maybe to see the test. Does it break the fast? It doesn't break the fast. You have no eating by that. We know what it means to eat. And within the period, you may drink water. Only water. Not zobo, not coke. No mineral.
Hello, good afternoon, sir.
Certainly you'll be sweating and you need water to cleanse.
My question is based on the fasting program that started today. We online, I'm asking, is there any scripture that we are to use to break our fast and to pray with?
Is there any? No. Now, the scripture for consecration in the Bible is Psalm 119. Break it into 29 days, 29 parts, and claim each one for each day. Psalm 119. Is a scripture for consecration. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. So I want to ask this question. Take for example, most time I stay with my elder brother and the wife, my sister-in-law. When I want to fast, sometimes she'll be confused and she'll walk up to me and want to know from me, are you fasting? And I'll just ignore the question. So now that it has to do 21 days, can I tell her?
Now let me tell you, we don't bind ourselves. See, what the Bible is against, I shall be looking at, is a show off. It's to show off. But when it becomes necessary, you have to say it. You are married to a woman who cooks food for you. And you decided you will fast. You wake up in the morning and tell your wife, I will not be eating today. I'm waiting on the Lord. Pure and simple. There's no sin in it. You are staying with somebody. You tell the person, for the next 21 days, don't give me food. Even water, I say, don't give me drink. Thank you. You have not seen. Yes?
Hallelujah. I'm so sorry, sir. Daddy, I hear something about grace. I want to ask a question about grace. Can grace be taken away out of believer's life? How can we know when grace is taken away?
No, grace is not taken away. What is taken away is the joy of grace. The joy of grace can be taken away from you if you become disobedient, because once saved, forever you are saved.
Sir, there is any way that we can recover it again?
We can.
And is any means or any way that the grace can be covered again?
Yes, Apostle Paul said, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Simple.
Thank you, sir.
Who again?
I want to ask you if I can, because like I'm diabetic. But
it's a medical condition.
Yeah, so I don't know if I can.
You are on drugs. So you only do within your capability.
Okay.
So that you don't take spiritual thing and hurt the physical one.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
Yes.
Go on.
Church, praise the Lord. I am one of the divine those God saved during the week that was supposed to be dead. I was attacked, seriously attacked. And the prayer that they prayed on Tuesday, I was one of the those who enjoyed that grace.
Clap your hands, church. Amen.